Welcome to Fun Talk, Brian's last.
Oh, are we recording?
We are recording.
I'll be fine.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay.
When did this start? Was it the allergy thing, you think?
The winds, they were blowing.
I think it sounded like everyone was, I mean, besides everywhere. Trees going down, everyone was suddenly like, I have a sinus infection.
Oh man, my nose was runny, I was sneezing, it was, you know, my eyes were like itchy.
Were you up in Carmel when that was happening? So was it the same winds up there as it was down here?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That happened, not good. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that like weakened my immune system a little bit.
Wind? I'm not sure if wind
does. No, the allergies?
Oh yeah, I mean, possibly. I'm not a doctor, but.
I couldn't remember if you were a doctor or not. Then I got home. I went out one night with some friends to support a friend who had a short film made.
What's go out mean? Did you do it?
We went out to this screening, the LA, like some LA film festival thing.
Sure.
Watched a bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
They were awesome, mm-hmm. especially my friends. And then we went out for like, you know, celebration drinks afterwards at a bar. Mm-hmm. They were playing the right music. We were singing, we were dancing, we were drinking.
This doesn't seem like it's going in a good direction.
No, but it was there's lots of people. So it was just lots of strain on the voice. So then the next morning I was like, oh yeah, my boy,
that's why there was no morning show.
Lost my voice. Then, well, maybe it's more than that. Cause then I'm coughing. I got a sore throat. I'm stuffy.
Oh, I see.
Right when my friend comes into town.
Uh-huh.
So I think I just got caught a little something. I'm feeling a little bit better. So that's good.
Okay.
And that's that.
Okay. You're back. I mean, you're back. Sound like you have some sort of respiratory.
Yeah. Oh, you should have heard me the other night. It was bad. My buddy was just like, can you just stop talking? Just stop talking.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So much Afrin, which is just a miracle drug.
I'm fairly sure that is the warning on the side is you should never be able to say so much Afrin.
It says those exact words.
How many days in a row have you been using Afrin?
No. I only used it for 2 days.
Is that the one that like makes your...
Responsibly.
Like will carve a hole in your sinuses if you use it too long?
I think so, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
But it's just, I mean, wow. You could have anything up there and then shoot a couple shots of Afrin up there. Clear as the day is long.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I love modern medicine. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. All we talk about here is the near future.
Yeah.
All the incredible things these people are working on. There's always a side effect when someone can say, you could have anything up there and a shot of Afrin will make it disappear.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they say, hey, listen, here's the deal. Up to 5 days, great. We're going to make you be able to go to work. On day six, it's going to melt the sinuses in your nasal cavity. Okay. I'm just talking about in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we've always said, like chemo, right?
Right.
It's amazing. It's been amazing for 50 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to look back 50 years from now and be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
We were doing that?
Yeah. Not great. Not great. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else we got here? So on top of that, I don't know if it's just
usually it's you that sounds like shit. And so now
it's
my
very
turn.
True. It's very true. One of my favorite days in our friendship, there's been about three or four of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if this one is just because you're sick or you've been taking so many vacations and having friend visiting and such like that. But I've heard you mutter at least three times this morning.
No.
I need to make some changes in my life.
I got to need to make some real changes, man. Oof.
What's going on? Talk to us.
Well, I just need to figure out how to, I just don't like being stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I realized that I just need things to like be going smoothly. Cause if they don't go smoothly, I'm just like, well, I don't know what to do.
So it sounds like two different things.
And then I just want to do nothing, but I don't have any time to do nothing. There's shit to take care of.
Sure. It sounds like two things. One, do you need better systems or two? I'm asking, or is it, I feel like you just pinpointed, is it, you need to be able to handle things better when they don't go to plan? Is it both of those or one of those or
maybe
none
no,
of those?
Probably both.
Uh-huh.
Probably both of those.
I'm going to really try not to be a guy right here and just tell you answers because it's my wife's least favorite thing.
Right.
So I'm just going to listen. Tell me about the first part.
I mean, it's just a couple of guys talking here.
Tell me about how your systems go wrong. Just a couple of Webby nominated guys sitting here talking.
No big deal. No, I don't know. I don't know if it's systems exactly.
Let me back it up. You said you've been having issues because your routine has gone to shit. Because you've been traveling a bunch and you had people visiting.
Yeah, just different things.
Is it been this moment that's mostly stressful? Or do you find like on a general day-to-day basis, you're struggling with managing things?
The former. I mean, sure, sometimes on a regular day-to-day basis, there's too much shit that happens. And well, like that type of stuff could maybe be. Yeah.
Yep.
maybe be solved by better system implementation,
like that chair.
I guess. No, that's good.
There's not, the back isn't high enough.
That's true. But it's better than the couch.
Sure. But day to day, you're getting through it. But sometimes it's great. That's life, right? Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait till you have kids. But you're saying when.
But
when
then after it's been 2 weeks of things just be like, I just don't. It's just hard to. When things aren't the same every day and I know what they're going to be and I do them, then it gets hard to get back into them when shit wasn't, you know, when shit was off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I was up in Carmel for 4 days. Then I had my buddy here for 4 days.
No, hold on. Before that, you went to fucking Denver.
No, that's not part of this.
No, but I'm just saying it's been a stretch. Right before that, you went to Denver.
No,
you went and visited your buddy in Chicago.
No. You're doing a lot of mansplaining right now.
No, no. I'm just saying if we look at the calendar of dates where you told me the day before you were going on vacation.
No.
It's been like a month.
No.
All right. I'll go back to listening.
I just need to get, things just need to go back to normal and then I'll be fine. That's it. And everything is starting to get back to normal now because there's no more. Well, I do have another friend staying over.
Okay.
Things are like, you know, I just don't, what is that? I want everything to be normal and then I'll be fine. When things are different, then it's hard for me. That's it. That's all it is. And there's no solution except for when everything goes back to normal. So in a couple of days, when everything's back to normal, I'll be fine. And also, plus I'm fucking sick on top of it and everything, you know, shit's just, you know, everything's just meh.
It's so much more fun when just you talk. This is life fantastic. Stuff, man.
No. Everybody gets it. All the listeners get it. Sometimes life gets you down. And other times, whoa, life's great.
That's fair. I get it. Yeah, better to get ahead of these things just because I know we joke about it, but you're going to have a baby soon.
Mm-hmm.
That it will never be.
I don't even have a baby yet.
It will never be more normal than it is, normal day than it is right now.
Right.
Your day is, would you say 90% fundamentally within your control?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what that
some
is.
Some percentage, I don't know, some high percentage.
Sure. Saying now's the time to fit. It's like if you take on a big project in life, you're like, oh, now I'm going to start working out and get my system straight. It's like, no, you got to figure that shit out before shit gets rough, right?
Right.
You got to stress test it a little bit. So let's talk about the second half.
What's the second half?
How you're actually dealing with when shit goes awry a little bit.
I think I need to take like a buffer day and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Where does the buffer day go? Things get bad, stressful, off, and then you take a day and you do nothing and then you get back to work?
Yeah.
Huh. Talk to me about that.
Well, I feel like it doesn't come to me automatically like that things are back to normal and I can just do my shit yet. There's like this weird stage of like, I don't know, it's just a little in between stage where I feel like since part of the day is gone, I can't like start it. So I just got to let that one ride out. Plus I'm not, this is all under the umbrella of the fact that I'm not feeling well, because when you're not feeling well,
everything sucks.
Everything.
Everything sucks.
I think it would be a total different story if this whole time I was healthy this whole week.
So what do you foresee as happening in this buffer day?
Well, it happened yesterday.
Oh, okay.
My buddy left in the like early afternoon. Wasn't feeling well.
So half your day shot anyways.
Half your day's already gone.
It's not like you're like, okay, I can do my work.
I just laid on the couch to put the TV on. And then my girlfriend called me and said she wanted to come over. And I said, yeah, all right, great. And she came over and we just did nothing.
So I did a 6-hour drive with my children yesterday.
Yeah.
Got back.
I forgot that that's so great that you did that.
Got back.
Love a 6-hour
probably
drive.
About the same time your friend left and you lay down the couch.
Yeah.
I sprinted here to the office and worked for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Sprinted home for dinner with them and then worked the rest
that's
of the night.
So great.
And I put up that smart banner on our mobile website to
you
which
guys
you
should
said,
see this. It's
oh,
awesome.
I just closed it.
No. This
I've
is
seen
awesome.
It a million times before.
I don't know if you guys know this.
So
everybody knows.
Good to know. Okay, that's my buffer day.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud
of
you.
I don't want to hear that.
Way to go with all your sprinting.
I don't want to fucking hear that.
This is the thing. This is what I think is the fundamental difference is that I also am just not, I need to be a harder worker.
You're really a hard worker. You just showed me, you just taught a man to fish with Instagram video. And what did I say? I never want to do this again. And you do it every day.
I never want to do it
now
again.
Now I appreciate it even more.
Great.
I know. I gave you one thing and said, make it your own. And you just said, I never want to do it again.
It's just a little thing. It's the actual things that I have to do that I don't like. The results of all those things, the thing that you and a little bit me put out into the world, awesome. Love all that. Mm. But I don't like the doing it part because it's like, it's shit that it's not, that's not, I don't know. I don't think I want to work hard. I think I might be in like just a lazy person.
Yeah, but we all are. I mean, that's fighting. It's like there's a 600 pound person inside of me every day. Like all I fucking talk about is working out and health and all this and stuff. But if you put, I mean, I would rob a Girl Scout cookie truck if it was advantageous and just sit in the house and destroy.
I'm sure they're doing fine. You could rob one truck.
Boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes. You know, like I am fighting that fight every day, just like you're apparently fighting being sloth.
Because you know what's funny is I don't always feel like that. Sometimes I feel great. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fucking killing it. I'm kicking it. I did all this shit today. Holy shit, this week was crazy. I did it all. It was awesome. And sometimes you're just like, fucking, I don't want to do anything.
Interesting.
I'm up. Maybe I'm just moody.
You are, yeah. P.S. Oh,
you fucking are.
Oh, I definitely am. So on the I need to make some real changes in my life topic, you said that your friend was a Chad.
What?
Chad called yes, you yes, yes. and said,
No.
There is a charred body. This is terrible to laugh at.
It is.
There's a charred body on the freeway. And how did it get that way, Brian?
Wait, I want to read it to you.
Okay, please.
It was yesterday in the middle. I was just on my couch having my buffer
day. Having your buffer day.
Just fucking chilling.
Uh-huh.
And I get a text from my roommate and good friend.
From inside the house?
He's at work.
So the text wasn't coming from inside the house.
The text was not coming from inside the
house. Okay, he's at work. So he's taking time out of his work day.
Well, because he was on the... So his boss has a lot of phone calls and he listens in on all the calls because he has to. Like, he just has to like take down all the shit that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So he texts me and he says, someone on the phone with my boss just said they saw, and now it's all capital letters, a charred dead body on the 405 motorcycle accident. You be fucking careful.
There it is.
So then I looked it up and yeah, it was like a couple hours earlier, this motorcycle had like hit a car or something and just poof, went up in flames, dead body.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
There was a point where he said, you'd better be careful.
Yeah.
So that's one step behind where I am.
Right.
Are most people where he is or most people where I am? Because it seems like you better be careful. It is resigned to the fact that you're going to keep motorcycling until you get a car or whatever. Where I'm just past that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, stop riding
most
today.
Most people are in Chad camp. That's my mode of transportation. Chances are I'm not going to burn up in a ball of flames.
Chances are a lot higher.
Yes, they are. But still, you know, we need to not go as far as you, maybe, and say, oh, you better.
But you're the one who told me that people need to be harder on you about the being late and this and
for
this.
Sure.
And you'll be angry in the moment. And then later you'll say maybe they're right. So I'm actually trying to be.
Well, good. Great. Thank you. I know. I know. We are really beating a dead horse here, man.
You walked in this morning, sighed deeply and said, I need to make some changes in my life. And I said, let's hold on to that for fun talk.
Well, I wasn't thinking of the motorcycle in that moment.
That is the number one change though, right?
No, of course.
You think you're going to put a baby on the back of a fucking motorcycle?
I've seen it.
There was a dude skiing with a baby and a Bjorn. And my wife related to me that her father used to ski with her in a backpack, like a JanSport, which super fun. I'm glad she has that memory. Really cool. Feels like you're putting the baby at some risk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I fall down so much.
The level of confidence that you have to be skiing with a baby on your person is, I mean, I bet he hasn't fallen down in years.
Years.
But still, that's crazy. What's going on with, what do you mean a JanSport?
Like a JanSport backpack.
Where's her head?
Unclear. I don't know if he closed it all the way, which I got a lot of questions, or if her head stayed poking out. Was she on the front or the back? I don't know.
That'd be interesting if she was on the back like a backpack because he's going down. She's seeing all this view, but going the other way. It's like when you sit backwards on a train, which I do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Weird,
seems
right?
Dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seems like probably like just don't do that.
It seems cool, but I feel like as much as she's holding on to that memory, which again sounds unique and really neat, if I proposed doing that with one of our children, yeah. I would get murdered.
Just seems like, you know, don't do it.
Unnecessary risk, right?
Yeah.
Like riding a motorcycle.
We saw a little kid on a motorcycle the other day sitting behind her dad.
That person should be in jail.
I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I think probably not. You just have to like weigh the stuff and be like, well, nah.
Yeah.
I have seen some dogs on a motorcycle and they're adorable.
How about that fucking puppy this morning?
Yeah, we saw Willow. We saw a real cute puppy.
9 week old lab, I think.
Mm-hmm. Willow, so tired and cute.
Just needed a nap in the coffee shop.
You really went in there. I mean, we were walking beeline to the cash register.
We had shit to do.
We had work to do. We need coffee. We needed to eat.
And then I believe I screamed.
You screamed out loud.
Yep.
And then you spent like 5 minutes just talking with the nice man and the children and the dog.
I wanted to sit next to them the whole time.
I know you did. It was nice.
Oh, Willow.
And then everybody else in the fucking restaurant did the same thing. That must be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you have to say, oh, yep, Willow. Yep, four months.
Yep, she's tired all the time. Yep, she doesn't sleep. Yep, no, my kids don't take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But God, that Willow. Super cute. Should have got a picture with Willow.
Willow's a good
Should have put that in our Webby thing. Hey, by the time this comes out.
Oh, yeah. We'll still be here because we didn't get flown to New York because we didn't win.
Wait, so this actually, yeah. I think this comes out on the 26th.
Oh, so just, yeah, right after.
So wow. 3 days after we find out that we didn't win either the People's Vote Award or the Judges Award.
I'm holding out for the Judges Award.
Are you?
Yeah.
How much are you holding out on this?
Listen, like, everybody knows who's going to win the People's and it'll be a real battle. And oh, it was almost Rhett and Link. Oh, Cereal almost got it. Oh, I can't believe it. But then like out of nowhere, the judges are just like, we're going to go with these two. That would be crazy.
That's why it's not going to happen.
Right.
It would be crazy. When is it again? They announce it on the 23rd.
Oh, yeah. It's actually in May.
Webby Award.
Is it May or something?
So if we go, I cannot wait for you to tell me you're not available. May 13th.
What's wrong with you?
In New York.
Great. I can go.
Are you not on vacation?
I'm not on vacation. Wait. I might be on vacation.
Oh, my God. Mother's Day is the day before. Well, we're going to have to fly out that morning.
Well, that'll be okay if that happens. Small chance. God, how is that already here? I'm supposed to go visit my mom, actually.
Oh, boy.
So, but she's on the East Coast, so I'll just take a quick little day trip to New York.
I was theoretically thinking the 14th to 16th, we might go to Washington, D.C. for the Humans to Mars Summit.
Oh.
Anyways, I guess we'll have to discuss when we don't win the award.
Humans to Mars. Wow. Holy cow. How about this? You know what my favorite thing to read? This is maybe my new favorite thing to read about. The fact that
this could be anything.
If we are gonna send humans to Mars, it's basically gonna need to be like a new kind of human, a gene edited human being.
Did you read all that shit this week that came out about the Kelly brothers?
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
So they finished basically a study, like had all the scientists go at it.
I never knew that he had a twin and they were both astronauts. Pretty crazy.
That was the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
And by the way, we're gonna fucking talk to Mark. He's running for Congress in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember, his wife is Gabby Giffords.
Yes.
So he's coming at this thing from quite a few angles.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get that lined up here soon. But
a new human.
Basically. I mean, they were like, look, we can make it. It might not be great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But really interesting stuff, that study. So we'll put that in the show notes too. And we'll talk about it with Mark as well. Yeah, crazy shit.
Yeah, that's some crazy shit.
What if you could have one realistic, because we try to keep things realistic here, future, but near future, logical leap type things. Things are actively being worked on and what's the next step after that? Not fucking sci-fi.
Right.
Of all the things that seem to be potentially possible for human bio upgrades, what would you start, if you could pick one?
Telekinesis. Flight.
No. Flight. Jesus.
That one's hard.
Telekinesis would be pretty dope. And I guess they're working on that, right? All the electrodes to the brain and then...
That would be crazy.
Pretty fucking wild. That's your number one? You see they gave mice night vision? That's pretty fucking rad.
That'd be cool.
Right?
Can they turn it on and off?
I guess you don't want to just see green all day, right?
Right. Maybe it just happens as a reaction to the light.
I missed that part.
Holy shit.
I don't know if it's short term,
right?
But they're like, yeah, we put nanobots in their eyes.
Oh my God, that's insane. I don't know. I mean, if you could, telekinesis would be pretty unbeatable, I think.
What would you do with that?
I don't know, man. Good. I would do good, only good.
I liked our conversation about stirring shit up today.
Yeah, it's important.
In the future, there's going to be some shit stirred up.
More people need to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's scary.
Vigilante justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People don't want to deal with the consequences. People think everybody's got to band together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up. On that note, I saw this article I really liked today on NPR called The End of Empathy.
Oof.
And yeah, I mean, I gotta admit, you know, I'm certainly guilty of this in some ways, even though it's like the number one thing I'm trying to teach my children, which is basically like put yourself in somebody else's shoes.
Right.
Right. So there's a few little things here we can quote and talk about.
Yeah.
From the author, Hannah Rosen. She says, when I was growing up in the 70s, empathy was all the rage. The term was coined in 1908. Then social scientists and psychologists started more aggressively pushing the concept into the culture after World War II, basically out of fear. The idea was that we were all going to kill each other with nuclear weapons or learn to see the world through each other's eyes. Yada, civil rights activists, Kenneth Clark joked that we all need to take an empathy pill. His hope was that people with power and privilege would one day inhabit the realities of people without power, not from the safe distance of pity, but from the inside. Of course, that has not happened. That's only gotten worse. And then she says, then more than a decade ago, a certain suspicion of empathy started to creep in, particularly among young people. Professor at Indiana University, Sarah Conrath, collected decades of studies and noticed a very obvious pattern. Starting around 2000, more students say it's not their problem to help people in trouble, not their job to see the world from someone else's perspective. By 2009, on all the standard measures, Conrath found young people on average measure 40% less empathetic than the author's own generation. 40%. Their feeling was, why should they put themselves in the shoes of someone who is not them, much less someone they thought was harmful? And that, I think, is the big thing, is that we have started to see, as she says, in fact, cutting someone off from empathy was the positive value, a way to make a stand, right? The new rule seems to be reserve it, not for your enemies, but for the people you believe are hurt or you've decided needed the most. Empathy, but just for your own team. Which sounds like it makes sense, right? But we're also becoming so polarized that it makes it very difficult. I mean, I draw the line for the terms of what we do here on science, right?
Right.
That's why we talk to like a reverend and we talk to other religious folks who neither of us share those values, or we disagree on 9 out of 10 things. That's fine. I love to have those conversations. I empathize with them as my parents taught me about religion. They, you know, they were lapsed Catholics, and my dad was a religion major, and so was I, which was like, go wherever you want to go, learn as much as you want to go, and then make a choice, and then don't judge people unless they're actively harming themselves, right, or other people or society. Great. Fine. If it makes you happy, if it comforts you, you know, don't care. Mm-hmm. That's great. But, and that's how I feel like we try to treat the people we talk to. And by the way, and I mentioned to someone the other day, we've had so many people say no to our requests because they just don't want to, because they notice like, oh, we disagree on these other things. They're like, yeah, I don't want to get into it. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the platform we offer. Look at these other conversations. They're like, yeah, they're not willing to do it. And that bums me out. But so I draw the line to like science, essentially, right? Empathy, great, but I'm not going to, I think it was Dr. Kate Marvel, friend of the pod, former guest, basically said 2019 baseline is I don't argue facts.
Right.
Can do anything else?
Yeah.
Here it is. And that's like, empathy doesn't apply there for me. When people are like, well, it's just it's a different set of facts. No. Different perspective. No. We start with, we have to go first principles. These are the facts.
Right.
Right. Then we can go on there. We can talk about the whys and the hows and things like that and what to do about facts. And we'll totally differ there. And that's fine. That's how we come to agreements, right?
Right.
But you got to start from the same place, man. You know, you have to start there. Otherwise, like, how do you walk a mile in someone's shoes when it's...
Well, you have to... Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Although I feel like if you want to get anywhere with people that are disagreeing with you about things that are just flat out true, you can either just say like, okay, well, we're done talking because you're not accepting that this is fact, or you have to go back further and you have to think about why do they not understand that and accept this as a fact, and go to where they are. That's like the empathy part, right? Like you're trying to put yourself where they are, realize or try to realize why they can't accept what facts are. I mean, it sounds crazy, but then maybe if you go back there, then you can get them to understand.
Well, so here's another thing from the study. This is interesting because they talk about universal empathy and how that used to be taught and how we've lost that. So it says, researchers who study empathy have noticed that it's actually really hard to do what we were striving for in my generation, says the author. Empathize with people who are different than you are, much less people you don't like. But if researchers set up a conflict, people get into automatic empathy overdrive with their own team. This new research has scrambled notions of how empathy works as a force in the world. For example, we often think of terrorists as shockingly blind to the suffering of innocents. But Fritz Breithaupt, a professor at university who studies empathy, and other researchers think of them as classic examples of people afflicted with an quote-unquote excess of empathy. They feel the suffering of their people.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Says he is alarmed at the apparent new virus of selective empathy and how it's deepening divisions. He says we're basically giving up its on civil society at that point. It's interesting, right? I mean, the empathy is so important. I mean, the werewolf, we keep coming back to, even though it's a shockingly small number of people for how much we talk about, is coal miners, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, fuck coal. It's making the world worse. It's killing us. All true. Yep. Start with facts. It has poisoned and killed a lot of people. All true. Start with facts. It is growing in places like China and Africa. All true. Those things need to be dialed down. Nothing. We need to make it go away entirely. All true, mm-hmm. right? Facts, 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 facts. Who else has been poisoned by it? The actual people working on it. They are sick. They didn't know it was that way for forever. Right. No one is taking care of them, and now those companies are bankrupt. We've done nothing to retrain them, and so entire towns and almost states have gone under, right? And they're sick. And also they can't get health insurance because their companies aren't providing it because we don't have fucking universal healthcare. Mm. And people demonizing them instead of coming and saying like, thank you for providing us power and building the industrial age. Turns out it was really, really bad. Turns out it made you guys sick. Turns out it made us sick. We're going to retrain you, hopefully into clean jobs.
Right.
But into anything, because we need you to participate in society and democracy and the economy and shit like that. We can't have a whole fucking state go down, you know? But it's happening in a lot of places. But of course, we talk about it, and it's something like only like 300,000 people. It's crazy. Like fucking Disney's bigger than that. It's, you know,
crazy.
Like it's crazy. But to me, like you got to start there. You got to start with facts. Like, look, here's the deal. Your entire industry and way of life has to go away.
Right.
For us to collectively make it. That sucks. You have a lot of pride of it. Ugh. You're probably like sixth generation to do it.
Yeah.
I recognize all that. I am sorry about that, but it is a fundamental thing, place where we have to start. To make up for that, let us as a society, those of us who didn't have to do that fucking job, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were young, who didn't have parents with black lung, and everyone's got their own issues, right? Didn't have to do that to come to you instead of from on our fucking white person pedestal say, you have to go away to say, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry for that loss of culture and the life and the hard work. And we appreciate it. However, these are the things we're going to try to do to make up for it. For everybody, for you and for everybody.
Yeah.
But we have to start with the facts that like, it has to go away.
Right.
Right. And these are all the scientifically proven reasons why.
Agreed.
I don't know. It's interesting to me.
I'm surprised to hear that from this article that people are less empathetic. I feel like the youth now is...
But maybe that's it. Maybe I would like to see that broken down.
Mm.
Because I feel like the youth probably is more. I don't know. But wait.
Yeah. Maybe it's not just. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
I mean, I certainly feel like fucking baby boomers are like the opposite side of this, mm-hmm. right? They're a nightmare. They ruined everything. I don't know. It's interesting to me as I like try to teach my children that empathy and accountability and responsibility are like the three most important things. You know, when they're like, I don't like this peanut butter. I want the other people peanut butter. I'm like, that's great. There's kids in your school who are homeless, which is like the cliche dad thing to do, but it's fucking true. We live in Los Angeles. There's a ton of kids in your school who cannot pay for lunch, who did not have breakfast. And then there's a very small number, but it is real, who are homeless.
No, that's pretty key.
Or who
teach
wear
them,
the same thing to school every day.
Right.
Don't complain that, you know, you don't have enough shirts or whatever it is. And they don't. They get it. And you can only, you know, expose them so much when they're young because they literally don't understand certain things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, empathy is, and that's more for the underprivileged or the afflicted or whatever it might be. And they're saying the furthest is how do we start to empathize with and go back to empathizing with people beyond that. But it all just, it's the whole modeling for your kids thing. Like how, you know, you walk across anywhere in Los Angeles and there's just homeless people everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And it's one, treat them like people, but two, understand that they might be, are not definitely by any stretch, but might be, have mental issues or a small percentage might be dangerous. But most of them, it is a city that is fundamentally unequal. It is unaffordable to live here. Thousands of them are vets. We have something like 6,000 vets on the streets in Los Angeles. You want to talk about empathy? How the fuck is that even possible?
Yeah.
How is that allowed in any stretch of the imagination? I thought about the other day, I was reading an old sci-fi book. One of the ones I think I put on the list for you called The Forever War.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is basically the author wrote shortly after he got back from Vietnam. And it is pretty autobiographical, but through a sci-fi lens, which is just how we treat vets when they come home, mm-hmm. which was a big thing about Vietnam, about that they came back and, you know, no one supported the war and they hated the vets and all this, despite it not being their choice to go there. But it's like, how do these people not come back and have like sci-fi level fucking healthcare
right.
for life, the best of the best?
Makes no sense.
Where we should all be jealous of the healthcare that they get permanently without question.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that is pretty unbelievable.
Instead, it's the opposite. We got 6,000 vets on the streets of LA.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
I don't know. I just, it's a lot to have to think about literally modeling every behavior you have, which is part of the reason I have an office by myself all day so I can take 5 minutes to be an asshole by myself without my kids seeing. But I don't know. It's interesting.
I'll have to read that article.
You won't, but it's good. I gave you a book today.
You did give me a book.
You weren't excited about that.
No, I'm very excited.
Are you going to put on the stack of ones you haven't read or is that going to move to the top because it's about home?
No, I feel like that'll be the next book that I open and start to read to see if I want to read it. You know what I mean?
What a qualified statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to brighten your day, I don't think.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Everything it was recommended to me as being pretty fantastic.
I'm excited. I appreciate it.
You got it's called
An American Summer.
Love and Death in Chicago by Alex
Kotlowitz.
Kotlowitz? Yeah, it's supposed to be fantastic. But you got a brand new fucking mayor?
We do.
Yeah, it's time for some change in Chicago. I mean, one mayor, I believe African-American lesbian mayor.
Correct.
Awesome. Is not going to change everything. But holy shit, is it a change from Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Necessary.
And very necessary.
Can she fix the Bulls?
No.
How are those idiots still in charge of that team?
I have no idea. That would be great if she could come in with some sort of high power, or maybe it's like hidden somewhere in the laws of the city that she has ultimate control and she can just fire everyone. That'd be cool.
God, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Is that your superpower that you'd want?
No.
Fix the Bulls?
I think still telekinesis. Or if we can go back, then also flight. But I know we were all supposed to.
Flights, yeah.
Nah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's pretty good for a day. We're at about 36 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a good one.
It's Friday. I have a wonderful weekend. What's going on this Friday? Oh, shit. Fucking Avengers. So we just...
Oh, yeah.
This is coming out on the 26th.
We will have just seen...
Actually, two things.
Yeah.
Last night, we would have just seen Avengers, so we should be reeling from it.
Right.
Two, actually tonight...
Right.
You and I are going to be at the... LA Road Tour event for the Sunrise Movement. And we'll be up there doing some announcing with Varshini.
Yes.
One of our previous guests, awesome. A fucking awesome. Hero. Talk about someone who should be in charge. So if you are in Los Angeles and you hear this morning, go to, you can go to our website or you can go to sunrisemovement.org/tour and you can get a ticket. Come tonight. Come find us in Los Angeles. It starts at, what time does it start?
7.
It is like at 7 o'clock at the Wilshire Ebel Theater, 4401 West 8th Street. 7 o'clock, the Green New Deal Town Hall. Brian and I will be there. Varshini will be there. Sunrise will be there. Let's fucking do this thing. We would love to see you. If not, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Avengers. Well, everyone's going to fucking go. It's like the biggest thing ever, right?
Everyone's going to go.
Yeah.
That shit you told me about the trailer, like deception was mind-blowing.
It runs deep. Don't go down the rabbit hole in that because we have too many other things to do today.
Fine.
Anyways, thanks. Hey, thanks to everyone who voted.
Seriously, that was really wonderful.
It was a fun run. We will forever be known as Webby nominated. We're going to run that into the fucking ground.
Webby nominated. Suck up.
But we appreciate it. And just a reminder, you can send us feedback to funtalk@importantnotimportant.com or on Twitter @importantnotimp. You can subscribe to our newsletter. It's free every Friday morning, 10 minutes. Change the world. importantnotimportant.com. I think that's it. Have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.